You're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion right here on the Prairie Punk Press Network.
The views expressed by any host or any guest on the Prairie Punk House Companion are the personal views or opinions of the people who express them and do not reflect the views or opinions of anyone else on the show or any company, employer, or any other organization that the individual expressing them has or will affiliate with in the past, present, or future.
Oh, you guys can see my busted ass blinds from our
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, did the cat do that?
Yep, of course.
Yeah, sweet.
I'm debating going to refill my beverage before we actually get started since it was so difficult to get going.
What do you have?
Cold brew.
Okay, I've got milk. I've got Earl Grey.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Hot, of course.
No, mine's cold. It's in the name.
Yeah. Well, I'm drinking hot Earl Grey tea because I'm fucking classy. All right. So
true. Well, do you want to get started?
Sure. Yeah.
Do we need to clap since we have one recording with all the tracks, or do you want to go ahead and clap just in case we need to?
Yeah.
Let's replace some audio.
Let's clap because it'll make me feel better.
All right.
All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
God, that was terrible.
That's fine.
That was terrible.
It's close enough.
Awful. Just awful clapping.
Yeah, I just need to look for about where it is, and I just kind of
sync
it up to the best of my ability. It's probably every single episode is probably slightly off sync, but it doesn't matter.
I haven't noticed.
No one else has either.
You do a great job.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody notices. Nobody complains.
Is it because nobody listens, though?
That could be it.
Actually, after we release every episode, Lil Johnny sends me a message to say something about the episode.
Oh, yeah. We've had like 350 downloads on.
Damn.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, that's over six episodes or five episodes, but still, not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's all people we know too. It's not anyone else in there. Although one of the downloads
who emailed us. I don't know who that is.
That's true. We also had a download in Singapore. We had a download in Belgium. I'm just like, I don't know if those are ex-Kansans who just like moved all over the world or whatever, but
weird. Wild. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just bots. The bots download stuff too.
I don't know. As long as it gets our numbers up, right? Hi, everybody. You're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion. This is episode 6. I'm Neckbone.
Hi, I'm Jerbear.
And we have a guest today.
Who?
That's a good question. What would our guest like to be called?
You can call me Sarah.
Okay.
Yay, it's Sarah.
We have a guest today. Her name is Sarah. And Jerbear and I know her from Kansas City initially. Sarah, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Sarah. happy to be here. I've known these guys for a long time. Yeah, Kansas City, Lawrence, all of that. Going to see shows and just hanging out. And yeah, I'm really happy that they asked me to do this with them.
So maybe you could help us out and fill our gaps because we don't actually remember how we met you. I think it was at the Central House, but I'm not sure. So can you maybe help us out and anyone listening of how we met? Because I don't really remember.
Well, actually, I remembered it the other day. Is that I was hanging out with BJ over at the Central House, and you guys were new, and me and BJ and I were talking to you, and maybe one of you needed to borrow a bike or something like that, and so we are going to let you borrow a bike. We just met you, and then we're all leaving together, and then Nick he's holding his leg and he jumps with his other leg through his leg. And BJ and I are just like, these guys are going to be our best friends.
And we were.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
I completely forgot that I used to do that as like a party trick.
Yeah.
All the time. And I used to do the Muppet dance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Usually when I did it, I'd have a cigarette dangling out of my mouth and trying to be holding a beer at the same time. So there were times that I just completely just ate shit.
How did you get into punk rock? And what were some of the more standout bands when you first got into it that really kind of shaped your entrance into the scene?
Sure. Well, I my sister was a big Fugazi fan, and when I was a freshman, she was a senior in high school, and so she listened to a lot of Fugazi. And then I'd met someone, they're just like, you know, wait a minute, have you ever heard Minor Threat before? And I hadn't. And so I listened to I think just the discography, and it was all over. I mean, that was what I was needed in my life. That's what I was missing in my life. And everything kind of changed for me after that. And then, you know, I had other friends that were listening to The Cramps or Rudimentary Peni and Conflict and things like that. Another big band I listened to was How to Clean Everything from Propagandhi, and just their politics kind of expanded my mind and got me listening to other political bands and things like that also. You know, you just meet someone, they have a favorite band, so you listen to it, and, you know, you just kind of go from there. But yeah, Minor Threat was a huge one for me. Just kind of the DC scene, the Discord scene. Listened to a lot of Conflict, and then just like a lot of 90s hip hop too and stuff like that. Pretty well rounded. And then, you know, basically any local band that were playing out on the weekend and stuff, we'd go see their shows. But I think it all kind of started with Minor Threat.
What was your first punk rock show?
It was at the VFW Hall, and Cockneys opened up for the Queers.
Oh, nice.
And Cockneys scared me to death. I was probably I was pretty young, but they were talking about like shotguns and pit bulls and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, the Queers are so poppy and stuff. So that was pretty cool. Daily Grind or G Coffee or someplace like that. But I'm guessing it was probably house shows and stuff when we were in high school and parents were out of town and stuff like that. But I can't remember my first one.
How was the punk rock scene in Kansas City? Was it pretty easy to get into? Was there much gatekeeping, or was it pretty open and welcoming and unified, you think? Because Kansas City and the Johnson County area is a bit bigger than Wichita and our scene. So our scene was really small and tight-knit, but it was also difficult to find music and things like that. So what was the difference in Kansas City?
I would say when I first started going to shows, indie rock was huge. And so that was kind of all the shows. And
Giants Sharing Shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Secular Theme, Boys Life, stuff like that. So I would always go see those bands. And then when I got to be maybe 16 or 17, you know, and could actually drive to shows, then I think that's kind of when Daily Grind open, and they would get a lot of local shows. They would get a lot of touring shows. So at that point, we were able to see like Neurosis and Descendants and 7 Seconds and stuff like that. But I would say it was pretty close knit. You know, I would see the same kids every weekend. I think kind of as we got older, it got more splintered, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, when we were younger, we were all so passionate about it. And so that was our weekend, you know, something to look forward to. I would say it was pretty close knit when punk shows did happen.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're talking about sharing your scene with like the indie community and stuff. In Wichita was totally different because we shared ours with like the metal heads. So yeah, if you went to a punk show in Wichita when we were in high school, it was like, what'd you say, like 50% metal heads at least. Just yeah, looking for something to do. Yeah.
There were indie rock kids too, but and I was actually talking to one of the guys from Everest. I don't know if you remember them or not.
I do.
And he, you know, they thought that they were like big nerds, and like we looked at them like the super cool kids, and like just assuming that like they wouldn't want to hang out with us because they were so cool and we were, you know, dirty, filthy punk rockers and stuff. And he was like, no, like we loved you guys. It was, you know, it was fine. We were big nerds. We didn't think we were cool at all. It's just funny how people perceive one another, kind of like how I was talking about Torin's band, the Omega Men / Hitman Union. We both assumed that the other didn't like us or kind of had a fake rivalry going on. Just because we, I don't know, we're intimidated by one another, I guess.
Imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody kind of has it a little bit. And so you just... Yeah. You assume that people, because they put on like in some kind of front, that they're actually that cool, but you think that you're the imposter, but they also think they're the imposter.
Yep, for sure.
I think, and my two strongest memories, well, I've got actually a lot of memories about Sarah and adventures that we went through. I'll tell them the way I remember them first, and then and then Sarah can come in and correct anything that I'm misremembering because of intoxication. So like we mentioned in the last episode, I remember we would drive around and I think it was Lucky, and you had that CD in your CD player. And I think for a while I thought it was stuck in there because it never came out. And I love that album.
Yeah.
I think it was for a while the only album I ever heard in your car. So it was a solid decade before I could listen to it again. Is there any truth to that? It being stuck in your car, did you just love it that much?
I think I just loved it that much. Yeah, I was super impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
And then yeah. I remember, I think, I don't know if it was that, it was, we were at a show at Replay in Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I don't think it might have been Grimple, but I don't think it was Grimple, but it might have been Grimple. And I was chatting up a young lady. I was sitting at a booth with you and BJ, and she sat at our booth with us, and she had an English accent for like, I don't know, solid hour probably. And then it just kind of disappeared. And I was like, I asked her too. I was like, where are you from? And even while she was still in an English accent, said, I'm from here. And I'm like, okay, I'm thoroughly confused.
Did she sound like Matt Berry? No,
that would have been really impressive if it turned out I was just chatting up Matt Berry that entire time.
Your voice your impressions kind of sounded like Matt Berry.
Well, I was just watching Fallout, so that's probably why.
Okay.
Nice. So it was getting close to the end of the night, and I was like, I think I asked, I was like, hey, do you want to come over to my place for another drink? And she said, sure, I just got to check with my boyfriend. And then she gestured to the biggest fucking guy I'd ever seen in my entire life. And he locked eyes with me. And then the next thing I remember is Sarah, you and BJ ushering me out of there so fast. You're like, we have to go. You have to leave right now. And I'm like, I'm talking to that girl. And you're like, nope, time for you to go. It's like forced me to leave and probably saved my life. People keep saving my life.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that was such a Grimple was like the perfect soundtrack for that night. It was so funny.
I'm so fucking bummed I missed that shit.
Did you not? Were you not at that show?
I was in Sarah's car, passed out. Oh. I got too drunk.
You were there for a little bit.
Yeah.
I lasted about two songs. And I was
You were there in spirit. I also broke one of my teeth that night, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know why. And I don't think that the Replay serves beer in bottles anymore, but I think they did at that time. but I had a bottle and I was like, I'm going to go into the pit. And I took a drink out of my beer as I jumped into it and knocked out like half of one of my teeth. Yeah, it's fixed now. As you can see, I have all my teeth. But yeah, part of this tooth right here is entirely fake. So that was a good night. That was a lot of fun.
So one of my favorite things that we did was we went to some fucking nature trail one time and spent the afternoon walking around in the woods and on rocks and stuff. I don't really remember much or why we even went there, but we all went. I don't even remember where it was, but it was a good time. I liked that day.
That sounds like fun. I remember one time, you know, because I used to have a shaved head. Nick was shaving my head, and then the guard went down. And so there was a little bald patch on the back of my head. And and you guys were in the back seat, and then Nick kept poking it where it was bald at. That was funny.
You could say that's a stylistic choice.
Yes.
I feel like I did that on purpose. You've never seen this haircut before? What are you, a rube?
Speaking of riding in your car, driving you bonkers by misnaming the Stiff Little Fingers song Alternative Ulcer and calling it Alternative Monster.
Yeah.
Driving you bonkers with that. That was fun.
I think there was a time when I actually thought those were the lyrics. Like when I was like 16 and I heard them for the first time, I think I thought those were the lyrics too. Because when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I think I thought once upon a time I thought those were the lyrics. Are they
not? It may have just been me saying it so much to repeat, sir. And there was another time, I apologize if you thought we were being mean, but we were just in a state and it was hilarious to us. But you came to our house in Lawrence when we were under the influence and brought up Jeremy Piven's website.
Oh, yeah.
And we laughed for like an hour or 5 minutes. I don't remember how long about it. It seemed like an hour. And that was, I don't know why we found it so funny, but it's a shame about that guy.
Yeah, but, too bad. I mean, I also feel like we kind of should have known, like, just by some of the roles he's chosen, that he was the creep.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. He was so good in PCU, though.
Yeah,
true. You know?
Yeah, that's why we were probably looking at it. That's funny.
I forgot that movie existed until just now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think I probably watched it about 20 or 30 times on Comedy Central. So
probably, yeah.
Yeah, like the early 2000s when... I say this as if they don't do this now, but when Comedy Central just rerun the same crap over and over and over and over again, watch it on a loop.
So I have like a piece of another memory and I feel terrible about it every time this piece of memory comes back to me. Did you one time get me a Shane McGowan poster and I tore it up and threw it in the dumpster?
Oh, I may have. That sounds like something I would do.
Like the vaguest memory of you doing a really nice and sweet thing for me, which is bringing over a Shane McGowan poster, whom I loved at the time. Yeah. But in a drunken stupor, I decided that his ugly mug should not be on my wall. Oh. So if that's a real memory that I did, I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
That really sucks.
I remember too, there was one time I was with you and Mike in Columbia, Missouri, and for some reason we decided we needed in the middle of the night to go to a Walmart and buy a movie.
Oh.
And I don't remember what movie it was, why we thought we needed to buy it, but we were rummaging, or maybe just I was rummaging through like the $4 bin. And I was like, we got to buy this movie. And you were trying to usher me out of the Walmart because this was back when the Walmarts closed and they were closing. And they were like trying to get us out of there. And I was just like, no. We got to buy this movie. I don't even remember what movie it was. It was probably some just absolute garbage movie. It was $4 and it had been at Walmart.
Was it PCU?
It was probably PCU starring starring the totally okay and very nice Jeremy Piven.
Oh, that's funny.
And the incredibly funny David Spade.
Yeah.
And then some other people too. Oh, and also the guy who directed The Mandalorian was in that movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds just a little familiar.
Yeah. And then you finally got me into the car, and I don't know if anyone else was with us too. And the next day you were like, I was about ready to disown you. You were out of control. So apparently I just kept arguing with you, and I just kept saying, we need to go back into the Walmart. And you were like, it's closed. We can't go in. And I was like, no.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you remember that?
Just a little bit. I know I used to be, Mike quite a bit. So yeah, that's funny.
We talked about St. Louis a little bit and brought up your bathroom experience at CBGB's in St. Louis. Can you refresh our memory about that bathroom?
Yes, that was so funny at CBGB's. So I went into the bathroom and there are two toilets facing each other. It was a pretty narrow bathroom. So I was on one of the toilets and a gal came in and we were almost touching knees. Like the toilets were so close together facing each other. It was just so funny. So I probably like screamed telling you guys about how ridiculous it was, but yeah.
So if I remember right, and I don't remember, and I couldn't remember if this part was because my roommate, who was a woman, used to go there with me a lot too. So I don't know if this happened to you or if it happened to her, but same thing. She was sitting like right across from another woman. Their knees were almost touching. The other woman looked at, like, locked eyes with her and said, "You're so beautiful."
Well, that's intense.
Yeah. Was that you? Was that my roommate?
Yeah. That was probably her.
Oh, okay. All right.
Punk rock scene, through really no fault of its own, is fairly homogeneously white and male. How was the scene for women? I feel like my part in it was I tried to be as equitable, treating people as equitably as possible. You know, I didn't see a lot of misogyny and sexism in the scene, but that, you know, I may have missed a lot. Was there much bullshit you had to deal with, or were people pretty chill?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. One thing that used to drive me crazy was, let's say, like, I was with BJ, someone else would be talking to us about music, some band or something, and they would direct all their questions to BJ. And so, and then I would say something, or BJ would say, you know, Sarah loves that band, you know, she just saw them or she just bought their record. But yeah, I would still be excluded from the conversation because of that person. BJ would be trying to, you know, get me involved, but that person would keep just talking to BJ. And that happened, you know, around here. It happened a lot in Manhattan, Kansas, even Minneapolis. That always kind of drove me crazy. And I had a bad time speaking up for myself and, you know, letting people know that would bother me because I was pretty quiet and reserved and stuff. But yeah, that always really bothered me. And, you know, and BJ knew that. So he would kind of redirect stuff. But that was one thing that kind of stands out from the scene and stuff like that. Otherwise, I can't. Yeah, of course there was, but I can't think of anything else offhand. But
I was talking to somebody. Hang on, my cat's driving me crazy.
Put it in the podcast. Use it.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend about their scene. They aren't originally from Kansas. And he was talking about how shitty they used to be to women, just in like a joking way or whatever. But when he came to Kansas, you know, he'd kind of outgrown that mentality. And he was actually like pretty stoked that our scene was more welcoming and open to women being in the scene and stuff like that. So being, you know, a straight white dude, it's I look back and wonder like how we actually did, because I at the time I thought we did really well as far as treating people fair and equitably and welcoming to everyone. But you know, there's always blind spots. So I was just, you know, it's good to have another person's perspective and hear what their experience is like. So that's kind of why I asked that question.
Sure. Yeah. I think Lawrence was a lot more progressed too, you know, the pirate house and, you know, and the females up there, and you know, I learned a lot from them, you know, and I was a couple of years older, so I think it what I did, I was more comfortable up there, I think, in the scene and going to see shows and stuff like that.
That's good. I always wonder myself, especially like reflecting back on even just like some stuff that like, and it's crazy, like with all the booze that I dumped into my body, that the things that I remember the sharpest are like the things that I regret saying. Like, I don't remember like any of the cool stuff I did. Like, I mean, except for some of our cool adventures and stuff, but like, like when I think back of like all the stuff that I used to say, like I was like, you know, that was, you know, probably my personal biggest blind spot was not being able to detect misogyny. I could always detect racism and homophobia pretty easily. And, you know, try to weed that stuff out, but my blind spot was misogyny. And Jerbear, I think, I don't know if you feel the same way.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, reflecting back on it now, I can kind of see it with hindsight. Yeah, I always thought that our scene was super progressive, and that I was like, yeah, we're cool with everybody. But yeah, I am seeing that from, you know, being a white cisgendered heterosexual man. So I'm not going to see a lot of the stuff that goes on, and especially after spending some time in other scenes, and hanging out with like all the punks in like Norfolk, Virginia and Chicago and Washington and stuff, which a lot of the ones in Washington are the same ones from Lawrence and Kansas City. But like, yeah, just kind of seeing how they do the scene and stuff. Like it's interesting to reflect back and kind of see where we dropped the ball. And I know it was a different time, not trying to use that as an excuse, but it definitely, you know, and especially most of us who were raised in places like Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska. And I don't know about you, Jerbear, but I, my dad never took me aside and talked to me about anything to do with women or how to treat people or how to, you know, basically.
Yeah, no, me either. My dad wasn't around and didn't teach me shit. So, no, I didn't. My mom was open and we talked about stuff, but it was never about like misogyny or anything like that. And like, you know, I used to be kind of a shithead when I was like in middle school and stuff, just trying to impress people and make friends. And, you know, I said a lot of stupid stuff back then, like everybody does in middle school, but, you know, finding punk rock, and like feminist bands, like I never got into the Riot Girl scene or any of that, but you know, Penis Envy is my favorite Crass record. And just listening to like anarcho punk and Prabhu Gandhi is another good example, you know, of like politically minded stuff. And that's really where I learned feminism from, is from punk rock. And then, you know, our friends down here, from back in the day, you know, Sarah, Anne Marie, Andrea, stuff like that, like just being around them and watching kind of what they had to deal with from people, you know, so it just kind of made me more aware, you know, to just not be shitty about stuff is basically like what it boils down to, you know, and yeah, just to not be shitty and treat people like shit.
So I guess on the subject of listening, Sarah, do you want to tell us t- tell us some of your adventures that may or may not involve us. They don't even have to involve us. Just some of like your craziest punk rock adventures, I guess.
Let's see. Wow. One fun time when I was living down in Columbia, we drove up to go see Logical Nonsense at the Outhouse.
Oh, fuck.
That was fun. And then, of course, the next day I have like a 7 o'clock math class. let's see. Oh, man, there are too many. I should have been thinking about this more. I don't know. You know, we just had a blast hanging out with you guys and, you know, down the apartment stairs at the other apartment and the Central House and Pirate House and Flanders House and going to Genghis Khan all the time. And
were you there when Nick was telling the story about his Russian girlfriend that made me shoot noodles out of my nose?
Yes, the curry noodles and how bad that hurt.
I don't even remember the story. I just remember Nick I was convinced that she was not real, and it was like your Canadian girlfriend, only she was Russian. Somebody bought Genghis Khan and was going to open it back up. Is that a true fact?
Yep.
Sweet.
Was it you?
Me? Sarah.
Oh, yeah. I want to take Andy out and his wife, Mimi.
Met them at Johnny's wedding.
Oh, how cool. They're the best.
That was a fun time.
Little John. Oh, I have a story about Little Johnny. That's really sweet.
Oh, I love Little Johnny stories.
Is that the guy I was dating at the time was a big Oi guy. And so they had a big Oi fest at Oi Coffee. And Little Johnny was out there. It was the first time I met him. And he was sitting on the stairs and he was selling all these like peace punk patches to all these like skinheads and stuff. I thought he was just adorable. And so I went and I sat down and I was talking to him and buying patches and stuff like that. And then he called me his sister and then just, you know, have been in touch with him since. But yeah, we kind of adopted him. He was so sweet and so young. And I just loved that he was there at that show.
I love Johnny. He's one of my favorites. Yeah. We met him hanging out with Nick and Chris.
Yeah.
And Ray. And we wound up at like some fucking park playing football. I don't know why the fuck a bunch of crusty punk rockers were playing football at a park, but we were. And Johnny was there. And that was the first time I met him. And it was very funny doing that, what we were doing.
Was that? Didn't we go to, we went to his house either that time or some other time. And he had
Johnny's?
Like, he was like, hey, you guys should come over to my house. And obviously he was still in high school. So
he was like 15 and we were 21.
I know, yeah.
And he like lived with his mom and like, she let us in and everything. She was like, hey, okay. And he was like, let me show you my room. And then he was like, I can't use my bathroom because I'm distilling vodka in the bathtub right now. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Might have to cut this part out. I don't know. But he was like, yeah, I gotta go upstairs to use the shower because like I'm making vodka down here. It's like, and he's so proud of it.
That's cute.
Well, what have you been up to in the last 20 years since we hung out?
I think the last time Sarah, when was the last time you and I hung out or saw each other?
And I can't remember. But isn't that so funny? Because we would hang out every day and stuff. And then it just kind of comes to an end. As far as employment, I've been working with folks with disabilities for about 22 years now. In different facets. Currently, I haven't drank for quite a while, and it's been amazing.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah,
really, that's awesome. Yeah, it's just night and day. And so I've and enjoying the better health and being a better person and mom. And so that's kind of it in a nutshell.
I've noticed, like, I mean, unlike the two of you who've just completely quit drinking, I do still drink occasionally. But I've noticed with every year that passes, I enjoy it less and less, and I drink less and less just because I just don't want to. But yeah, so they had this beach thing, and they're like, hey, we're having a beach social, come out to the beach and we'll, you know, drink and grill some food. And I think I had 4 beers, and I just felt like crap the next day. Like, I felt like garbage. 4 beers spaced apart by about 3, I think 4 beers over 3 hours. So not even a lot. And I was just like, yeah, I didn't even enjoy that. I just did it because it was a social thing. Then I was thinking, I was like, I think next time I'm just going to bring like a soda or something.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The hangovers are just, oh, it's, you just can't do it anymore. You know, and we did it so hard.
You did it every fucking night.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it every fucking night. Yeah. Last time I drank, I was hungover for 3 days.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
And I was 36.
Yeah. Was that at Joe's wedding?
It was the weekend after Joe's wedding.
Oh, the weekend after Joe's wedding. Okay.
Yeah. The Gunshy came to town, and I went to see them and drank way too much and hurt really bad for the next 3 days. And that was when I was finally like, hey, I better stop this.
Yeah. And, you know, most of my friends are the exact same way, you know, as we were, just drinking heavily. And now most of them are sober. And they're just a bit easier now to not drink around, you know, being around sober people, being good influences, you know.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. I mean, I did try to quit drinking multiple times back in the day, and it was just everywhere. Everything in my life revolved around booze, you know. I mean, up in Lawrence and Kansas City, everybody partied all the time. And when I moved back here, I actually moved back to Wichita to get sober. And then that didn't pan out either because, you know, I was in a band playing in bars all the time. I worked at a bar.
Yeah.
Everybody hung out in bars. So like for, you know, like 18 years, like everything revolved around alcohol. So there, it was like, if you wanted a social life, you had to be around it. So it made it really hard to be sober.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I think especially if you had anxiety or, you know, something like that, instead of taking pills, because it wasn't that, of course it was well known, but it wasn't that documented at the time. And so I know just on my behalf, you know, I do be able to talk to people and to be comfortable. And, you know, that was my for socializing. And
yeah,
I felt that
it was definitely self-medication for me.
Yeah. For me, Sarah, I'm right there with you. For me, it was liquid courage. I was anxious, especially moving to a new city. And I just gone through like a bad breakup at the time, like right when we moved to Kansas City. So I just kind of felt like I was like, you know, not good enough, you know, a lot of anxiety and self-doubt. And so I would just drink until I was super confident and fun and somebody that people wanted to be around. And I just kind of kept doing that for way too long in my life.
What's the last show you went to, Sarah?
Let's see. The last show was Adam Ant and the English Beats. But the show before that, Prong and Voivod, was so good.
Nice.
It was so much fun. Rod bought us tickets. And at first, I don't go to as many shows. And especially being sober, you know, I haven't gone to that many shows. But it was so badass. Voivod was brilliant. And everyone was smiling in the band, you know, for being so metal. And yeah, it was just a blast. It was so much fun.
Where'd they play?
Record Bar.
Oh, I know Record Bar. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't really around back in the day. I think Maddie took me there.
Oh.
Like, but... like probably 15 years ago now. I wanted to say recently, but it was after I left Kansas City, but I probably not recently. We've got some. Oh, do you have any good funny Maddie stories?
Oh man, I've known Maddie for a long time.
He's still around?
No, he moved to San Diego. Oh, one time, you know, because I used to live with Maddie and BJ. Mm-hmm. We dared him to dress up in all white, like white shirt and white jeans. And then, of course, that night we go to Dave's and he meets like this super hot goth girl. And he's so bad.
He's like the anti-goth.
But just a little funny, but, you know. Mm-hmm. One time he was cooking chicken wings for himself and we didn't have any oil. And so he cooked them in hot sauce. So it was essentially like pepper spray in our apartment.
It was Nick bad. Me one time for doing that at our house. Not because we were out of oil, just because I used hot sauce to cook with. Yeah, it was like a tear gas bomb. Yeah. Yelled at me. And yeah. There's that other guy that you were hanging out, Quinn.
Oh, so, Quinn. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him for years and years. I know he was super good friends with Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but he was always really cool. I was like Quinn.
I have a funny story about Quinn. So we got into our heads once that we needed to do a proper spring break, like a stereotypical spring break. I was on spring break. I was in college. I don't think Quinn was going to college at all, but he was like, I want to do spring break. And I was like, all right, cool. And we kind of pooled our money together and we were like, okay, where can we go on the amount of money we have? And we came to the conclusion that the furthest we could go was St. Louis. So we drove to St. Louis in my Mercury Topaz and we just went to different bars running around the entire time screaming spring break. And I think that we had beads, but we just kept giving them to each other, like just back and forth, just exchanging the same beads. And one night we ended up in a riverboat casino somehow. And we were just in there screaming spring break and drinking. That's nice. My fondest memory of Quinn was doing that.
I do hang out with Taylor.
Oh yeah.
I love Taylor.
Which
and,
Taylor?
And my old boss from Wild Oats.
Miss Lisa. Yeah.
Yeah. She sent me home for smelling bad one time. Taylor.
She's from Wichita originally, isn't she? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us for an hour and chatting. I miss you a whole lot. And yeah. It would be rad to hang out for real sometime.
Yeah. I know you guys come up to Lawrence every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
I was there February for like 3 days. That was the first time I had been back since my wedding in 2019. So I actually had not set foot in Kansas for five solid years. I lived in Washington for a lot of that, and that's just like Washington State. So it's just not really super easy to get, but I'm going to try to come back to Kansas and Kansas City more now. Yeah. Do you have anything, like I like to say at the end of every interview, do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't know. It was a really fun way to grow up, very lucky way to grow up, to be able to focusing on music so much and so many buddies and fuck all y'all. Yeah.
There you go.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
Nice. It was fun growing up that way. Lots of wild and exciting and dangerous adventures and barely surviving, but mm-hmm. somehow making it.
It's it's a scene that I'm so glad I discovered. I didn't, you know, Jer-Bear, I know you feel the same way. Sarah, you can chime in and say whether you do or not too, but I didn't really feel accepted anywhere else. I mean, I was like a weird metalhead Trekkie. Like, I mean, where the fuck else was I going to go? Like that, the punk scene was just like, okay, yeah, you're kind of a weirdo and like, you're way too obsessed with science fiction, but yeah, come hang out. We'll get drunk. And it was, yeah, I felt like, and the music was just kind of like a bonus feature for me of like, oh, I get to like discover all this cool new music I never would have heard of otherwise. But yeah, like I felt way more accepted than I did with any other group I ever would hang out with.
Yeah, for sure. It felt like home.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, it did feel like home. I completely agree. Yeah, that's very sweet.
Well, thanks for hanging out. And so I have access to a button maker, so I'm going to try and make some buttons soon for people to... Oh, there's a cat fight. Cut it out. Dummies. I'm going to get some buttons made, probably a Pirate House button, a Kansas Street button, a Boston Apartments button, and then some of our logos. And I don't know what we're going to do with them. We're trying to think of some bonus stuff to put on Patreon if anybody wanted to give us money. I think we've already put a decent amount of our own money into this. We're not looking to quit our day jobs or anything like that, but it would be rad to be able to pay ourselves back for some of the things we've bought. And you know, if anybody wants buttons, patches, maybe eventually maybe t-shirts, we'll see. I don't know, it depends on how everything goes, but that's something we want to do. And I think we're gonna start doing some punk rock movie reviews.
Yeah, first one up is the Outhouse documentary.
Oh yeah.
So we're gonna watch that and then write our thoughts or discuss our thoughts on it. So there's like a handful of punk rock movies, and that's what we'll start with. But Neckbone and I have loved cinema for a long time, and that's one of the things we bonded on with each other is movies. Also been an important part of our lives right alongside punk rock. So watch for movie reviews coming up.
And any guests that we've had on, Sarah, that includes you, if there's a punk rock movie that you would like to review with us, let us know, and you can be a guest on, you know, a punk rock movie review too. I think we're compiling a list of punk rock movies, and it's a pretty loose definition. Some of them are really obviously punk rock movies, like the Outhouse documentary, Suburbia and Suburbia, which are two different movies.
Movie.
River's Edge.
Oh, right. River's Edge. We got to do River's Edge. Do you want to do River's Edge with us, Sarah? Yeah,
I do.
Okay. All right.
Hey, I'll
pencil you in.
Whoa.
Yeah, that sounds great, you guys.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, thanks for joining us. Do you have anything else to say before we stop recording?
That is it.
Do you want to do a sign off? Do you want to come up with a sign off and do it?
Ooh, what?
Sarah, yeah.
I gotta get some coffee and go pee.
That's the one we usually do.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Man, thanks for filling our gaps.
That's the other one. But you can come up with an entirely new one if you want, Sarah. It's the sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah, and this isn't actually radio, so you can curse too. It's fine.
Okay. No, I really don't. It's so tired now from talking. Whatever you guys come up with will be great.
Okay, that's it. You just said it. There we go.
It's true. Whatever we come up with will be great.
That'll go on the review too. That'll be on the back of the album. Whatever you guys come up with is great, Sarah.
Oh, we should think of a rating system for movies, or it can be different every time.
Well, like, we kind of have one. We have Poser, Punk'em a Rocker, and Upper Crust.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking like 3 out of 5 safety pins, or
yeah. Or we could come up with an entirely new system, an entirely new rating system for every single one. So yeah, that's utterly meaningless.
Yeah. It's completely absurd. Like if we do like Romper Stomper or something, it'll be like 2 out of 7 British up yours or whatever. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. So JerBear and I forgot to ask Sarah the most important question. So she was kind enough to record her answer and send it to us. Thanks again, Sarah.
So I was asked about my favorite side of the Shit Split. Classic record. I wish I still had it. Between Filth and Blatz. I love Fuck Shit Up from Blatz. A fantastic anthem. But I would probably go with the Phil side because I love Filth. I love The List. I love Band from the Pub. Every song they've done is fantastic. But Blatz is a lot of fun, and Berkeley is my baby, and it's really hard to pick, but I would probably go with Filth.